Allison, I would say that New Orleans received a lot of really positive press since the last index came out. I wonder what kind of attention you've seen New Orleans get nationally, and why so much attention now?
Well, I think there's a lot of actually good reason for there to be strong positive attention on New Orleans now. Pre-Katrina, we were, by all indicators, really among a group of post-industrial cities. Slow or negative economic growth and poor residential well-being measured by poverty, unemployment, etc. So what's really interesting is that there's data that's pointing to that New Orleans is breaking from that trajectory. What we did in the New Orleans Index was we went back to 2008, which was our peak jobs year, and we have now 1% more jobs than we did in 2008. We lost fewer jobs than other areas because we had a strong post-Katrina stimulus going on. But the fact that we have regained all of our pre-recession jobs and exceeded that level suggests that there's something going on in our economy that is actually inherently strong and puts us really in a new category in terms in our economic growth.
Yeah, what other cities are we in the category with now that maybe we wouldn't have been even a couple years ago?
So the metros that we compared ourselves to were seven southern metros, including Orlando, Nashville, Austin, Raleigh, Houston. We, since 2008, have had similar job growth as they have.
Hmm. Now, you talk about us being in this category of aspirational metros, but there are a few areas where we have real statistical differences.
Well, one thing I do want to point out is that also our entrepreneurship measures are even stronger than those aspirational metros. So we are 56% above the national rate in terms of entrepreneurship and 33% above those aspirational metros. So that's really amazing. There are a number of metrics on which we are not doing as well as those aspirational metros, and those particularly have to do with the extent to which our full population is benefiting from the economic growth that we're seeing. African-American men in the New Orleans metro have employment at only 53%. You know, we've got to boost those rates in order to really have the kind of economic growth that those aspirational metros do.
And Flizelle, I'd like to ask you, when you've seen these articles come out about New Orleans in magazines like Forbes and Entrepreneur Magazine, mm-hmm. ranking us high on some very impressive metrics, mm-hmm. has that felt real to you in terms of the experience that you have on the ground working as a philanthropist in New Orleans?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think we have, in many ways, good reason to talk about the good news. But we also see that there is a pretty serious disconnect between what those numbers represent at large and what is actually happening, especially in New Orleans. I think to pick up on Allison's point about the 53% of black men unemployed, economic opportunity and inclusion is not just a value, but it's an imperative for economic development overall. Allison is fond of saying demography is destiny. And when you look at the American South and many of the cities that are making the kind of progress that we want to see ourselves make, they really have done a better job of making sure that more of their citizens are included in educational opportunities that are meaningful, job placement, entrepreneurship, and business ownership.
I know both of you have been talking and thinking a lot about how our thinking about New Orleans economy should change mm-hmm. from a local approach to a more regional approach. Can you give us some examples of what a regional economic approach means and why it's important?
Yeah. You know, I think there was some change in thinking just because so many New Orleanians moved to Baton Rouge, right? And a lot of us saw our connections much more tightly, and there was a lot of, and there still is a lot of commuting back and forth. And I do think it's important to give credit to the folks from the Baton Rouge Area Foundation, because right after the storm, they did a study on where the airport should be located and should it perhaps move to the Baton Rouge area to build a bigger, larger airport there. And their study revealed that no, where it is right now at Louis Armstrong is the best location for it, and that Baton Rouge should support the expansion of that airport, and they decided to do that. And that's actually very rare. And so there's been ever since then a lot of collaboration between New Orleans and Baton Rouge.
And I think just to go back to this conversation about the regionalism, after the storm, people were shifting across parish lines in ways that we didn't see before. I also think that what we find in the data, Allison has a few reports that show really interesting trends by way of housing affordability, where the jobs actually exist, and the need for transportation. I think transportation is one of those places where a lot of conversation is being had about how we can create more meaningful cooperation between Orleans and Jefferson Parish, for instance, two major job hubs where people, in fact, are having to get back and forth to living wage jobs. How do transportation systems accommodate that in a way that really allows folks to get to those jobs?
Hmm. I'm wondering if you could talk some about how the face and the experience of poverty in New Orleans has changed and what this index has to say about that.
Well, we know that not everybody actually returned post-Katrina, and that the data shows that the people who were least likely to return were those in poverty. So what's interesting is when you see that the percent of the population in poverty now is just as high as it was pre-Katrina in New Orleans, and it's even higher in the suburbs and the rest of the metro area than it was pre-Katrina. And so, in other words, more people are falling into poverty. As a matter of fact, the majority of the poor in the metro area live in the suburbs and not in the city. And that goes back to what Flozell was talking about, the importance of planning things like transportation and housing, not just for Orleans Parish, but really for the whole metro, so that we begin to address those issues where they are.
So this set of data in the index has a lot of impact locally. It helps us pay attention to our own narrative as a city and maybe gauge where we are compared to where the rest of the nation might expect us to be or thinks that we are. Mm-hmm. How do you think the rest of the country sees us 8 years after Katrina?
Well, I think those who are taking a reasonably serious look can see that the city and the region really have moved into a different trajectory and that we've begun to really shift some indicators. And what's fascinating about that is that it's incredibly hard to do. You know, when you look at Detroit and Cleveland and lots of other cities, they've really struggled with that. And the break in the status quo that Katrina created really helped so many people become engaged in all kinds of reforms that were absolutely critical, from the levy boards to the school system to criminal justice, etc. And those are essential for moving forward. And, you know, I think that there is, of course, from the national perspective, a lot of concern about our sustainability from a flood risk perspective. We are not the only ones who face that risk at all, but we're sort of more famous for it. So we have an opportunity to really demonstrate how a coastal city can thrive in a sustainable fashion, and hopefully our wetland restoration projects will help us do that. And I think, too, you know, the image of folks stranded at the Superdome is really seared in the nation's mind. That's part of why the inclusion indicators are also really important. If we want to show to the nation that we are a different place, then making sure that folks are not left behind in any literal or metaphorical sense is going to be really critical.
I think we're seeing the same thing, especially in national and regional philanthropy. You have organizations and individuals that have invested literally hundreds of millions of dollars in our communities, not only to help us recover, but with the hope and aspiration that we would become a city that is, in the right ways, different than we were pre-Katrina, right? And looking at folks on their rooftops, the Superdome, the Convention Center, what does it look like for this to be a much more inclusive and equitable city of opportunity for everyone? And it shows up, I think, in the data in a few ways. If you look at some of the criminal justice reform efforts, really acknowledging a tough pill to swallow that we're the most incarcerated city in the world. So how do we continue to press forward on those things? I think a really honest conversation about the success we've had in public education, much more people engaged in the conversation, even if not on the same side of it. But also making sure that we ask the tough questions about the measures of accountability. How do we track not just the data, but having some consensus about what we mean by success in that space?
The New Orleans Index at 8. Now, 8 is not typically a milestone anniversary of any kind, but the next index that will come out will be the New Orleans Index at 10. And so that 10-year mark is when we are going to be getting a lot more attention from the nation and from the world. So why are these numbers at 8 so important in terms of what we want to be able to show the world at 10 years after Katrina?
Right, exactly. We will get a lot of national attention at the 10-year anniversary. You can be sure of that. So, you know, I've joked with my geeky friends that, you know, if you think of the 10th anniversary as like the SAT test, this is like the PSAT, right?
You were a geek in high school.
I was.
She still is.
See, but, you know, you could take the test and then you could do better, right? And so that's the point. is that, you know, how are we doing on these metrics? And we have 2 more years. You know, things like criminal justice, there's a lot that we can do really rapidly to move that. You know, employment rates for African-American men, that's going to be slower to move. But it is something that we can work towards, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I certainly amen what Allison just said. And I'll also just add one last thing that was discussed in the report, and that is our cultural community, the so-called cultural economy. The culture bearers and producers are really energized in creating some sense of ownership of their culture and the economies that are dependent on those cultures. And that's something I suspect by the 10th commemoration of Katrina, we'll see some real progress on.
Flozell Daniels Jr. and Allison Plyer, thank you so much for talking to us about some of the findings in the New Orleans Index at 8. There's a lot more great information with the index at gnocdc.org. And of course, you can find this interview on our website, wwno.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.